You're listening to Not Many of You Should Become Teachers, a podcast that explores the world of K-12 education as it intersects with the Christian faith. You might call us extreme moderates. We're skeptics who try not to be cynics and are allergic to cheap rhetoric. Welcome to the show.
Hey friends, here we are again, deep into summer. It is summer school here with Not Many of You Should Become Teachers. And Riley, one of the beautiful things about being a teacher is we get summers off. And summers off means time to rest and relax and to reflect a bit. And I have in my hand something we've not done before. I'm a little
skeptical,
maybe a little nervous, but that makes for an interesting episode. I have in my hand a copy of a book that was given to each and every one of our graduates as they walked across the stage. And so it was given to me as a copy I could read. And I've not heard of this book. I've not read the book. The only part of this book I've read is the back cover and the endorsements that are all over this book. So we're going to talk a little bit today about The Grand Paradox: The Messiness of Life, The Mystery of God, and The Necessity of Faith by Ken Weitzma, who is apparently, just followed him on Twitter, author, pastor, I believe, located here in the Northwest in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So let's dive in. Do you want to read the back of that? I'll pass it over there.
Yeah, here
and,
we are.
Just to give some context, and then we'll yak a bit.
The paradox of living in a broken world can grab our attention dramatically as we go through life, experiencing disappointment, enduring tragedy, and surviving disaster. We're too wise and too jaded for cheap answers. Hey! We are literally reading this
annotated
for the first time.
Reading.
Yeah. Promises of the American dream and religious quick fixes, they don't really satisfy us. Could this guy come on the show?
Oh, man.
Instead, they leave us desperate for something solid, hoping for a more sure foundation upon which to build our lives. Our hope can't simply be in controlling our present circumstances. If we are going to live lives of meaning and purpose, we're going to have to learn how to embrace the grand paradox. Life is messy and God is mysterious, yet there is a way to follow Christ, develop a relationship with God, and pursue the happiness and joy that we all long to experience.
Oh, and boom. It is Ken, yes,
and it's endorsed by a number of people back here. I'm familiar with Shane Claiborne here on the back, author and activist, but also Nicholas Wolterstorff, Stephen Bauman, Leroy Barber, and I don't even know how to say the first name. It's T H S H. It's just consonants, but the last name is Oxenrider. I'm sure that's Oxenrider.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's very fun. I love it.
Also,
makes me want to read it.
On the inside, I mean, the endorsements continue. You can talk about the forward in a second. Walter Brueggemann is
Old Testament scholar, and I think Princeton.
Yes,
I'm not 100%
and
sure.
Wrote a lovely blurb in the front. So
big fan of Brueggemann.
We are going on endorsements alone that this book selected for our grads of 2019. They're reading it, or you know, a few of them are going to read the book, and at least it's going to be sitting on their shelves. And so we would do well to probably know what we're pumping out there for the grads.
Yeah, it sure doesn't sound like the 5 points to happiness by Focus on the Family. That was a scathing remark, I'm sure. But and I think that's something that we're in favor of, because like we said in the last episode, our students are asking questions of meaning and looking for depth. And so far, I'm impressed.
Jaded, cheap. We're too jaded for cheap answers. That got us both really excited. So
totally,
yeah. So we're gonna read this book or go through as much of it as we can. Our listeners are along for the ride. What can they expect? What do you think they can expect?
Well, I would love it, when we think about our own connections, because a lot of our listening connections are personal connections. We can admit that. But I think that it's a great opportunity.
I can admit that. I'm not admitting that.
You wouldn't do that. I think it's a great opportunity to get involved with some of these alumni, as they also now have a copy of these that may sit on their shelf, but also may be something that is open and read. And I think there is opportunity for discourse through things like Twitter. And I think it's something that we'd be open to when it comes to chatting and whatnot.
Yeah, so we'll likely dive into that a little bit. Maybe, I don't know, in the summer?
Yeah, or it could end up, I've always thought about maybe having a segment where we do quite literally book club this on our podcast and dive into the Grand Paradox, or even perhaps a Twitter chat, which is something that one of our listeners has suggested to us, which a Faith and Learning Twitter chat would be really, really fun.
Yeah, this might be a way just to sort of jumpstart some of that. So stay tuned for the Grand Paradox. Now, Riley, when I first showed you the book, and you recognized it right away because you were at our grad the other night.
Yes.
And about the foreword.
Oh yeah, that was the first thing I noticed. Yeah. I didn't even read the author.
The title.
The first thing I said, foreword by Eugene Cho. I'm in. So just another fabulous name that I currently follow, and it just really gets me into the idea that I should really be following Ken Weitzma on Twitter as well. So this is a fabulous introduction to some of his work. So we thought that we'd actually read a little bit of the foreword here, just kind of jumping into this book. And these are some of the words that Eugene Cho has to share before reading The Grand Paradox. It says this: one of the most disturbing and fascinating stories in Scripture, at least for me, comes from Mark 4. It's a dramatic life and death story. It's a story that involves Jesus, the disciples, a boat, and what was meant to be a smooth and safe journey across the Sea of Galilee. Many may be familiar with this story, but it was only later in my life, in a closer examination of this tale, I realized this harrowing near-death experience begins with Jesus saying, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." In other words, Jesus initiates this trip. Did you get that? Jesus initiates this life and death episode. This is why this story is so disturbing, because at its core, it contradicts so much of what we want to believe about faith in God and what it means to be a follower of Christ. Just believe in Jesus and everything will be perfect, or pretty darn close. Health, wealth, blessings, prosperity, enjoy, give God the glory, repeat. This is what I learned, or selectively learned, and want to believe. What inevitably happens is we try to figure out the magic spiritual formula. We try to figure out God and make absolute sense of faith. We make plans and set the course for our life journeys. We create Excel spreadsheets of our hopes, plans, and ambitions. We leave no room for mystery and thus can't make any sense of doubt, confusion, and questions.
Oh boy, this is sounding like a great book for our grads and... everything we would sort of hope for, right?
In
what you're leaving.
Relevant to our conversation here on this podcast, as we so frequently come back to that idea of that dealing with questions. Well, not dealing with them, but addressing questions. And I think that... addressing questions and revealing mystery. Not revealing answers. We reveal that there is more than a few answers. You know what I mean? That it is not this fundamentalist cut and dry way of living. Like he says, enjoy, give God the glory, repeat. There's so much more depth than that. So just reading those words really, it kind of warms my heart that I think that this is definitely a voice that we want to continue to foster within our students.
I'd really hoped, Riley, that we could have had our valedictorian this year on the podcast. I had microphone ready to go. He was actually in our room. And
we should still maybe try and arrange something like that. If we sent a couple questions, he records it on his phone and sends it our way. It'd be worthwhile.
I think he could do that. I was helping coach him for his address last night, and one of the things that he touched on actually fits with the Grand Paradox and fits with this discussion around. He spoke of mountains and valleys, and I remember helping him work a little bit with sort of how to have the rhetoric of an address, and he spoke of the mountaintop of that evening, and that life is not lived on mountaintops. And that's sort of the language that he went with. And he was acknowledging that it wasn't all going to be like this. To savor the moment, to savor that, the rich time of what a milestone marker, but the other things are going to happen. Stuff's going to sort of unravel. And I know that a valedictorian address is not a place to point out all the things that could possibly go wrong. He was highlighting all the things in the grad class that people could go on and do, and the amazing talents in that group. But he left room for, and he was speaking about listening, You were there. I think
yes,
I was. You were in the audience, and he spoke of listening. He quoted from the book of James, which is actually the where we're getting not many of you should become teachers.
Come on.
It's the same epistle in the New Testament, and that we should of a posture of listening and being open. And I think listening and being open, as opposed to being set in our ways, that rigidity, that's what some of the stuff we're rejecting here, or some of the stuff we're pushing back against and saying, if we don't have built-in flexibility, and I'll have to put a little star beside that, and you can push back, flexibility or malleability. Faith, which is a word that I was using with students this year, then we're in for major faith crises. Not life, like life is going to bring the crisis moments. But what happens when your faith doesn't fit, can't respond to, can't even deal with what's going on in real life?
Like a brick wall is not malleable. If you remove one brick, the wall will fall down.
And this is that the type of faith that we want to be in the service of forming? And Riley, you can't see it. He was shaking his head. Resounding no. But yeah, perhaps this word malleability, maybe we'll go there for a second, about malleable. There was a little bit of pushback or caution. For those of you who've been listening on our podcast, you know what we're talking about, and we can send you back to season one and some of our discussions with some of our guests. There were a few students, and one in particular, one of their grad bios, you know, so this is when they walk across the stage, they've answered a questionnaire and filled out some responses, and then that gets curated and typed up. And actually, Lizzie B was on our podcast, our colleague Lizzie B. She does a wonderful job of compiling those, and then they get read. And one of the phrases, we actually made the editorial decision to cut it out, was credit to me that Mr. McFarland had spoken of having a malleable faith, that we need a malleable faith. And I realized that actually, outside of the context of a conversation like we're having in the podcast, you could hear that as like maybe situational faith, situational ethics. Like, well, if it's just bend your faith a bit, if it doesn't, if it doesn't work. And this is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about wishy-washy, but a posture of, and I think back to our valedictorian, listening, being willing. Are you willing to hear something you may not want to hear? Are you willing to go beyond the pat answer that gives us immediate comfort? Black and white, rigid clarity can be, in the short term, very comforting, but it doesn't have the staying power.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I've heard, a further image that... that faith should be like a trampoline and not a brick wall, something that you can bounce on and that springs can grow and stretch and move and not fall over when one spring is removed, unlike a brick wall that won't stand still without any of those bricks that really are rigid. So yeah, thanks for that. What a great third episode here, summer school. So if you're enjoying this faith and learning conversation, that's what we do on this podcast. So you got to hit subscribe if you haven't already and give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever app you listen to podcasts on. We also would love it if you got in contact with us. You could do that at Not Many of You on Twitter. You could find all of our show notes, episodes, soon to be resources, and blog at notmanyofyou.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great summer.